Glad to be here this morning. This is a special day for us. We're actually celebrating our 37th year anniversary. And what a better place and what a better place than San Diego and here with you. So you're very special. And we're thankful to God for these 37 years, and they've been a glorious 37 years. I mean, they say that no marriage is perfect, but I say we come pretty close. And really grateful to God, really grateful for what He has done. And it's through His grace. I really want to say that. I give Him all the glory, because we made a commitment to God when we got married to put Him first. And you do that daily. And He really brings blessings to your home. So all the praise and glory to God for those years. You know, I remember when I returned home from the service during the Vietnam War. And I got home, and I've been away for a couple of years and lost contact with people. And my brother, he informed me, he says, you know, a new pastor's in town. We have a new pastor at the church, and he has four lovely daughters. And so it brought me back to church. I married one, he married the other. But really grateful to God. By the way, the title of my sermon is Harmony Sends, you know, like sends good vibes. Harmony sends good vibes when there's harmony in the home and harmony in the church. When it's not a divided church, it's that, like here, we have a good church here. Been here a couple of occasions. Harmony brings good vibes. The text that was read this morning, John 17:21, says that they may be one. That they may be one. That says, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one. And here's the reason for it. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When we live in harmony, when we can get along, both in the church and the home, it really sends a message to those outside, unbelievers, they have not accepted Christ, that Jesus does make a difference. And we've proved that in our home. We've seen the difference that it's made in our home. And in the churches where we have pastored and been a part of. So it's really important. It's really important to have harmony, to work together, to live together, and to do things together. I heard a story from a pastor friend. And it's a story about a father who was quite sick, quite ill. In fact, he was in his deathbed, and he did something interesting. He had a large family, and he invited them all to come around his bed. All his family, all his children came around his bed. Then he began giving them counsel about the importance of sticking together, working together, trying to do everything they could to help each other, good relationships, harmony. And then he gave them an object lesson. And that object lesson, he gave each one of them a stick, a little stick like this. He continued giving them counsel about the importance of, you know, don't be envious of each other, jealousies, stay together, help each other, work together. Then he asked the elder son, he says, take your stick. And he took his stick and he says, break it. He broke it. And he continued his counsel. Then he asked the other family members to turn in their sticks. And they all turned in their sticks. He had a little bundle of sticks. Then he says to them, break them. The bundle of sticks, it was very difficult to break. That was his father's way of saying, you know, there is strength. When you come together, when you do things together, you help each other, you'll get things done. There's strength in numbers. By yourself, you can't do much. That's the way it is in a church. One person cannot do it all, as was mentioned here a while ago. So it's really important to be able to get along, work together, do things together. You know, God has his own illustration on this same point. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. He says, here's this illustration of how his church should function in harmony and unity and togetherness. He says, for as a body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. What is the church compared to? Body. You know, the body is extraordinary, the way it works, the way it functions. You know, how it works together. You don't see the body, you know, fighting against itself. It's not divided. Every member of the body has a part to play, has a function. And it's that way in the church. Every one of you. We're all different. Every member, every person has a role to play. And God would love to see that harmony, that unity that we see in the body. He would love to see that in his church. Why? Because it sends a message, according to our text, it sends a message that Jesus does make a difference. He makes a difference in the way we get together, and we get along in the church and in our homes. And he really does. Christ does make a difference. And so when we come together, we work together, we serve together, use our gifts, our abilities, our talents, it really does send a message that Jesus does make a difference. In fact, it's so important in this one text here, the word one body, one spirit, is mentioned seven times. That's how important it is. And Christ cannot be divided. And we're his members. We're his church. We need to stay together, work together, serve together, like you do here. We don't generally see this in the outside world. Some of us that have worked in the public sector. And you know, I read an article by the German philosopher Schopenhauer. And he's talking about the political world. We see what's happening in Congress, you know. Republicans and Democrats, they can't work together. And we see it in corporate America. In this article I read, it's kind of humorous because he compares people trying to work together, accomplish things together. He compares them to a group of porcupines in a cold, freezing winter night, seeking for warmth. They come together, and what happens with their quilts? They come together, and they prick themselves, and they separate. And he says this goes on all night. What a sad picture of humanity, isn't it? But it's not like that with us Christians. We are, through Jesus Christ, we can live together, even though we're different, we think different. We can live together. And in our homes, you know, we send a message. Jesus does make a difference. I could say that in our home. 37 years, and it's been a blessing to have Christ as the center of our home. Now, when I talk about togetherness, harmony, working in unity, we're not talking here about uniformity, where we all think alike, we all look alike, we all, you know, we become carbon copies of each other, and what they call group think, you know, no, we're not talking about that. In fact, this passage of Scripture tells us that there can be unity in diversity. And it gives three reasons why there can be unity in the church and diversity. The first reason that this passage of Scripture tells us for a reason for unity and diversity is that verse 4 says that there are diversity of gifts, spiritual gifts. Every one of us here has received a spiritual gift. We have received a talent. So we all have different gifts, different ability, attributes. You know, we're all wired up different. And what is a spiritual gift? I have a definition here somewhere. And a spiritual gift, it's actually, oh, here it is. A spiritual gift is an attribute given by the Holy Spirit, given to each member of the body of Christ according to the grace of God to be used as necessary in his body. This is from a book on spiritual gifts by Robert Wagner. And this is important. We don't choose our gift. We don't produce our gift. In other words, we don't fabricate our gift. No works here. All right? It's all grace. When you receive a gift, do you pay for that gift? No. You know, we've received, I'm sure like the rest of you, we receive gifts in Christmas or birthdays. And some of those gifts go into the garage in our home. Go in the garage. They're shelved away. They have a whole shelf of things. And, you know, they're not doing any good there. So once in a while, I'll bring a vase, put flowers in it, you know, start using some of these gifts. You know, they're just there. My wife has a lot of teapots. We bring them out and, you know, start putting teapots all over as decoration. What I'm trying to say is that every one of us has received a spiritual gift, an attribute, something to do. Now, they're just for Christians, because they're to be used in the body of Christ. We are to minister to each other, to help each other, to work together. And so a spiritual gift is for uplifting the other members of the body, serving the other members of the body. In the church and outside the church, we use our spiritual gifts. Now, that's why there's diversity in the church. I run across members that say, you know, everybody needs to do this or do that. No, we're all different. We have different gifts, different abilities. We've seen that here this morning, the different talents, abilities that we have. And this passage here goes on to describe, it gives us a partial list of spiritual gifts. It begins in verse, it tells us here that starting in verse 8, it says there's a gift, the word of wisdom. There are people here in the body of Christ, here in the church, that God has given wisdom to help the church in difficult times, maybe in a board meeting or with some wisdom. So there's that gift. There's also, it says, the gift of the word of knowledge. There's people that have knowledge in different areas, some in technologies and other ministries in the church. There's the gift of healing. It mentions the gift of healing. There are people that pray for people, and people feel better spiritually through the prayer of a friend, a member of the body, and even physically. There's people who have that gift. You pray for somebody, you feel better. It says there's also the gift of working of miracles. Do we see miracles today? We see conversions. We see miracles in many ways. I was a chaplain at the Loma Linda Medical Center some years ago. I was in a program there at the medical center. And you know, there's miracles that take place in our institutions, our hospitals. We don't see them as miracles, but you know, those are miracles. I got a call one time. I was out there doing my runs there, working at the medical center. I got a call from a young man up in the third floor. He said he wanted to see a chaplain. So I went over to see this young man. And I went into his room, and he was praising God. Oh, he was praising God, lifting his arms and just praising God. I went in there. I introduced myself to him. And he says, you know what? This hospital has done a miracle in my life. So really, what happened? Tell me about it. He says, you know, I came here. I couldn't move my arms, my hands. He says, I couldn't feed myself. People had to help me. They operated on me. They Now, so as we was praising God with his hands, I'd go in there and I'd see him waving his hands. Didn't know what was going on. But he was praising God. He says, now I can feed myself. I can do so many things. And I could go on and tell you many, many more miracles that take place in our medical institutions. God gives wisdom to our doctors and nurses. So we see modern miracles taking place. Then it says here that there's the gift of prophecy. Now we know how that works, the gift of prophecy. Through visions and dreams, you know, God reveals his will to the prophets, and then the prophets write. And we have the writings. It goes on to say there are different kinds of tongues. When we talk about tongues, what are we talking about? There are people that think that tongues are unknown. Now, in the book of Acts, when it talks about the gift of tongues, it's talking about languages. Because about 8-10 languages, groups of people are mentioned there. And there was a purpose for the gift of tongues. And that purpose was to spread the gospel. To share the good news of Jesus Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 14, that's where people have problems. With 1 Corinthians 14, and they say, no, there it's an unknown tongue. But, you know, if you study that carefully, study 1 Corinthians 14, you'll see that the weight of the evidence is on understanding. On understanding and sharing the good news. And it says through song and through the word. So it's a gift. You know, I had a doctor, a teacher at the seminary, Dr. Leona Running, and she knew 8 to 10 languages. That's a gift. I mean, she knew, oh my, she was incredible and fluent. We have a pastor in this conference who knows 6 languages, and he's fluent. That's a gift. Then there's a gift that says here of interpretation. Interpreting tongues. In other words, a translator. I used this gift for many years. The gift of interpretation. Translating. Because I pastored in many Hispanic churches. So when I used to invite someone from the conference, they'd be preaching in English, and I'd be translating, interpreting. I'd be preaching in Spanish. Now, it's a gift. You know why? If it's not a gift, you'll have one person preaching a sermon, and the translator preaching his own. I mean, if you don't have the gift, I've seen that happen since I'm bilingual. I hear, hey, he's saying this. Oh, he's saying this. So it's a gift. And you know, the list goes on and on. There's a gift of pastors, the gift of teachers, evangelists, the gift of leadership, and just a host of gifts. Hospitality, the gift of hospitality, of mercy. So many, many gifts. So you see, there can be diversity in unity. We don't all have the same gifts, the same attributes, abilities. But we're all working together. Another reason, the second reason that it says that there's diversity in unity is that, there's difference. There are different or diversity or differences of ministries. Verse 5. We talked about ministries here. I heard a number of ministries that Nick mentioned. The host of ministries. And so there's diversity of ministries. The ministry of hospitality, the ministry of media, the ministry, there's two types of ministries. There's outreach ministries and there's nurture ministries. Nurture ministries are those ministries that help us grow as Christians, make us stronger in the faith. You know, gifts like Sabbath school, we come together and we study, small groups, we come together and we learn about the Lord. Those are nurture ministries to help us grow spiritually. You know, women's ministries, teen ministries, all these, it all depends on your church, how many ministries you have. Then there's outreach ministries. Outreach ministries are for those people in the community. There's homeless ministries. Is an outreach ministry. You have other ministries such as people that love to give Bible studies, like to share Christ with people. Some like to give seminars and talk to people, about the book of Daniel, Revelation, bring people into the church. There's many outreach ministries. It all depends on the church. I was in a church serving as an interim not very long ago. Oh, they had a host of ministries. Now, it's in these ministries that we use our spiritual gifts. See? Like in Sabbath school, you might have the gift of teaching children. Somebody else may have another gift, the gift of hospitality. You use these gifts in ministries inside the church and outside the church. You have a gift of outreach. We all have different gifts. And you know what's really beautiful? The gift that God has given you is something you enjoy doing. I remember when I was a young man, I had a mother that had a gift. And she wanted me to do the same thing she did. She was good at knocking on doors and giving literature. I mean, she loved it. And the bus, she had like a bus ministry, giving literature. And I used to, you know, that was in my ministry. And I used to feel bad. Then I found I had another, later on, I found out, oh, spiritual gifts. So, you know, I found I had other gifts, other abilities that God had given me. So we can't force our ministry upon somebody else. Say, oh, you got to do it this way. You know, I hear a lot in churches, at least some of the ones I've been to. You know, we don't do things that way here. That won't work here. Well, you know, a person comes into the church and wants to try out a ministry or feels the Lord is leading that person to do a ministry, puts in the person's heart, you know, to use their gifts and abilities. And a lot of times we stifle people that want to use their gifts, their abilities. A third reason why there can be unity and diversity in the body of Christ in the church, it says in verse 6 that there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. In other words, there's various activities that take place in the church. Adult activities, you know, youth activities, many things take place in the church. So it's really important that we recognize each other's gifts, each other's abilities. So that is very, very important. We want to build up the body of Christ. We find that those churches where they're strong in nurture and strong in outreach, there's a good balance, in other words, with nurture and outreach, you know, the church is alive. You know, it's alive. So, there are diversity of activities, many activities taking place in the church. There's another point, very important point, that this passage of Scripture brings out, and that is that in the church, or in the body, first it explains through the use of the body, interdependence. We need each other because we don't all have the same gifts, the same talents, the same abilities. We need each other. Interdependence. And verse 21 says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." Every one of us. You know, we need each other. There's this interdependence. And it's interesting what verse 25 says. It says that the reason we should embrace interdependence, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, when we're busy working, we're busy serving God, we have no time for divisions. We have no time for, you know, wondering what that person's doing or don't care for what so-and-so. You know, we all using our gifts, our abilities. When there's service, when the church is moving forward and everybody working together, there's no schism. But when nobody's doing nothing, everybody's sitting like a spectator and looking, you know, and, you know, you don't have that unity, that harmony. And, excuse me, so it's really important. You know, those churches that are clergy dependent, where the pastor does it all, they suffer. For the simple reason that a pastor doesn't have all the gifts. And that's no secret. There's some, I go to churches and I go and I try to take a name of a pastor or names of pastors. The list they give me, I mean, wow, where am I going to find a pastor like that? With all those gifts. You know, they want a pastor that has all the gifts. And we're not wired that way. I mean, you know, some pastors are very good in administration, and some aren't. But in the church, you might have someone that has the gift of administration or the gift of finances. So it's really important. There's this interdependence that exists. You know, I'm a Laker fan. And I really enjoyed the championship when they beat the, especially beating the Boston Celtics. I mean, but you see the interdependence there that exists. You know, they have a star player. Who is that star player that the Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers have? Kobe Bryant. But you know what? Kobe Bryant couldn't do it by himself. Kobe Bryant's an outstanding player. I mean, superstar. But he couldn't do it by himself. They couldn't win championships. So what did they do? Excuse me. They brought in these two big giants, Paul Gasol, the Spaniard, and they brought Andrew Bynum. Now, Paul Gasol is what they call a finesse player, soft touch. So he needed a tough guy. And they brought Ron Artest, the bad boy. They brought Ron Artest. He sticks. He's a good defensive player. He sticks to the other players like a T-shirt. I mean, he's right on them, you know. And then they needed someone who had championship experience. So who did they get? They got from Utah. They brought back Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher helped them during the finals. And they needed some spark plugs. You know, a player that could come in there and really spark them up. And Shannon Brown. Shannon Brown, that guy almost flies. He goes up there and he participated in the dunk contest. And Farmer. And so there's all this interdependence. You know, everyone needs each other. These players, they're all working together. And that's how they won the championship. And they won it because they weren't just depending on Kobe, on Gasol. They were all working together. That's the way it's in the church. We all need each other. We all need to work together. Serve each other. And in the home. It's so important. And there's one other point. Everyone is important. Everybody in the body of Christ is important. Oh, thank you so much. So everyone in the body of Christ is important. Chuck Swindoll, Pastor Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Improving Your Service, great book, Improving Your Service, he tells a story that Peter Marshall used to love to tell about the keeper of the springs. And this story takes place in Switzerland, up on top of the mountains there. There was a hermit. This person that worked up in the mountains, and he used to clean the springs of water. So when the water came down from the mountain, it came down crystal clean, and, you know, because there's hikers up there, and, you know, debris gets in those pools of water, leaves and dead wood. So the keeper of the springs would work up there, and he had his equipment, he would clean the springs. So when the water came down, it would come down into a lake. And it was clean. And you know, that village began to grow. Restaurants, businesses, and people began to come from different areas, different parts, to the restaurants. It became a tourist attraction. You know, Alps, beautiful lake. And so the keeper of the springs was up there by himself, doing his work silently, making sure that the springs were clean. But you know what? One day, the village council got together. And they started to review the budget. And they went name by name. And when they came to the keeper of the springs, no one knew him. They said, we don't need this guy anymore. You know, I think we're past that. So that evening, they fired the keeper of the springs. And you know, for a while there, everything continued the same. The water would come down beautifully from the mountains. But as time went on, you know, the water started changing colors. There was dead leaves, and more time went by, and it was a bad smell. Pretty soon the tourists were no longer coming. They were having financial problems in that village because people were no longer coming, riding the little boats, the fishing and all the beautiful scenery and ducks. And so one day they discovered the person that they felt was not very important, was not really useful to them, was the one that was giving life to that village. And so they went out looking for the keeper of the springs, and they found him. But the point is this: everyone is important, even those who work in the backgrounds. You know, there's people who do things for the church that no one sees, no one is aware of. I'm an interim of a pastor. I'm pastoring the church right now. I'm interim at Arlington Riverside. I'm there during the week. I have my office hours. And there's a man there fixing clocks. Found him fixing the bench for the piano. I mean, he's busy doing all kinds of work there at the church. But nobody really knows. Nobody really sees what the work that Marshall is doing. So we need to be grateful and thankful for everyone. Every one of you is important because every one of you has received an attribute, a spiritual gift. But let's not leave it in the shelf. You know, let's experiment and see what we can do for the Lord. Now, spiritual gifts, talents, they're very important. But chapter 13 is a continuation on spiritual gifts. And there's a fruit that we need in order to really work in harmony, work together in the home, in the church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. It says, excuse me, let me get another. It says this: though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Even the gift of oratory, great speakers, and I've seen some great speakers, but if they don't have love in their hearts for people, if there's no love there, it's worthless. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, even the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Even the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, no value without love. Verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Even here, it goes on to say that neither the gift of giving or the gift of martyr, giving one's life, has no use if there isn't love. We gain nothing. Excuse me. You know, and I find people, persons, You know, I find persons who say or think that people are going to come into the church, accept Christ as their Savior because of our doctrines, because of our beliefs. And we have beautiful doctrines. Don't misunderstand me. Beautiful beliefs. But if there isn't love among the members, if we don't love each other, we treat each other right, we support each other, we help each other, we care for one another. When one's suffering, we pray for that person. You know, it's important to see love in the church. Kindness. Love and kindness. Now, it goes on to describe what this love looks like. Here's what this love looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. You see, a lot of marriages, a lot of homes where one of the biggest problems is self. Seeking their own. It's got to be my way or the highway. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. This is the kind of love that is needed to have harmony in a church among its members. And it exists in this church. We need to continue expressing this love in our homes, with our partners, with our children. It is very valuable. But there's only one source for this kind of love. And that source is Jesus Christ. We cannot fabricate it. We cannot produce it. It's only through Jesus Christ. A daily experience with Jesus Christ. We need to stay connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ. How do we stay connected? A prayerful life. Every day. We never know what a day is going to bring. As a pastor, I can say that to you. I've had experiences that have come upon me that if it wasn't for my time with the Lord Jesus, every day. We need to have Christ in our lives every day. We need a prayerful life. That's how we stay connected. Secondly, and that is speaking to the Lord, right, through prayer. Listening to the Lord through the study of His Word. There's power in this book. It's God's Word. We need to take time to study God's Word daily, every day. That's our part. Thirdly, we need to serve, use those talents, those gifts, those abilities that God has given each one of us here. That's our part. People ask at times, you know, what's our part in this? You know, it's grace. You know, we've been saved by grace. What's our part? Our part is stay connected. We stay connected through prayer, a prayer life, meditation, you know, think about the Lord, take time to think and commune with God. And God's going to bless each one. You know, it's my prayer. You know, you have a lovely church here. And that each one could find his gift. And you could use it here. You could use it at your work. If you're a nurse, you're a whatever you do, a teacher. You know, you don't just use your gifts here in the church. You use them on the community. You can use them everywhere. But make sure you're connected with the Lord so you could have that love. That love can be manifested wherever you are, especially in the home. Especially home. I said at the beginning, I thank God for 37 years of marriage. I come from a broken home. I come from a broken home, and my father was an alcoholic. But what helped us is the church. We came into the church when I was a young boy, and the church really helped us. And then when I learned about the importance of having that relationship, that fellowship with the Lord, made all the difference. Every day we must be connected. Every day. So I give God all the praise, all the glory for our home and what's taking place in our lives. We've made a commitment, and that commitment stands. And we thank God for it. Not us, but it's God. It's my prayer that God will bless you as you use your abilities, those attributes that God has given you. Use them. God's given you something you enjoy doing. You just have to do is find it, what it is. God bless you.